From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the Book of Acts as he brings the concluding portion of a message entitled Introduction to Paul's Second Missionary Journey. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Luke chapter 23 and verse 26. On him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. We see in Simon's carrying the cross a picture of the work of the church throughout all generations. She is the cross-bearer after Jesus. Mark then, Christian, Jesus does not suffer so as to exclude your suffering. He bears a cross, not that you may escape it, but that you may endure it. Christ exempts you from sin, but not from sorrow. Remember that, and expect to suffer. But let us comfort ourselves with this thought, that in our case, as in Simon's, it is not our cross, but Christ's cross which we carry. When you are molested for your piety, when your religion brings the trial of cruel mockings upon you, then remember it is not your cross, it is Christ's cross, and how delightful it is to carry the cross of our Lord Jesus. You carry the cross after him. You have blessed company. Your path is marked with the footprints of your Lord. The mark of his blood-red shoulder is upon that heavy burden. 'Tis his cross, and he goes before you as a shepherd goes before his sheep. Take up your cross daily, and follow him. Do not forget also that you bear this cross in partnership. It is the opinion of some that Simon only carried one end of the cross, and not the whole of it. That is very possible. Christ may have carried the heavier part against the transverse beam, and Simon may have borne the lighter end. Certainly it is so with you. You do but carry the light end of the cross. Christ bore the heavier end. And remember, though Simon had to bear the cross for a very little while, it gave him lasting honor. Even so, the cross we carry is only for a little while at most, and then we shall receive the crown, the glory. Surely we should love the cross, and instead of shrinking from it, count it very dear, when it works out for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Beneath the cross of Jesus,
I'm
Regular Bible reading is an essential part of the Christian life. In the Holy Scriptures, God has given us everything we need to know for salvation, for spiritual growth, and for the many issues and problems that believers face. However, many Christians do not profit from the Bible as they should because they have no guidance as to how to study it. Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Continuing this series of studies in the book of Acts, Dr. Cairns is dealing with the continuing progress of the expansion of the early church. After the Council at Jerusalem, Paul and Barnabas prepared to embark upon their second evangelistic tour. At this point, a tragic event occurred between the two. Barnabas determined to take John Mark with them, but Paul refused because Mark had abandoned them during their first mission. The sad result was a hindrance to the work, and the breakup of one of the greatest missionary teams the world has ever seen. Yet the work of God continued as a new team was formed. Paul chose Silas and Timothy, and they were to see the gospel carried beyond Asia Minor into Europe. Now for the final portion of this message called Introduction to Paul's Second Missionary Journey, here is Dr. Cairns.
Barnabas was a man to whom the Lord gave the gift of being able to discern the potential in a man. He saw it in Saul of Tarsus when nobody else would touch him. It was Barnabas who saw what God could do with Saul of Tarsus when he got saved. And when the rest of the church were dead scared of him, it was Barnabas put his reputation in the line. It was Barnabas took him. It was Barnabas presented him to the apostles. It was Barnabas put him into the work and gave him a start in the work of God. Barnabas was always a good man for seeing the potential in a man. And as later events showed, he was very right. There was great potential in John Mark. As Paul himself recognized, he became one of the most cherished men that Paul knew. He said, he is very profitable. He is very useful to me in the ministry. And a later date. So they both had good cause for the stand that they took. The tragedy is that they allowed themselves to be so blinded by strife that they split up this great missionary team in the early church. And yet, you know, even in their dispute, these men have something to teach us. Evidently, each accepted the decision that the other made. And there's not a word that there was any name calling or any slanging matches. There was no imputation of unclean or ungodly or selfish or carnal motives. Paul did not say, Barnabas did it, and this is the reason. He didn't try to enter into Barnabas' mind. Barnabas did not say, Paul did it, and this is the reason. You know, some of the disputes that arise among the people of God are bad enough in themselves. But what makes them worse is when Christians start to imagine that they can read the other people's mind and conscience, and they give the reasons why they do certain things. Now, you find it hard enough to know your own mind. Very hard to know your own heart and your own mind. So in God's name, leave it to the Lord to deal with other people's minds. The Lord Jesus says, by a man's words, he will be justified or he'll be condemned. Let's not enter into the mind-reading business. So often disputes have been made so much worse by the slanging matches that come afterwards. And there's nothing more unwholesome than to see men like Paul and Barnabas. Thank God they didn't do it. But men like this who are fighting the same battle, who are serving the same Lord, who are taking the same stand, who have divided on an issue which is not essential to the gospel. Entering into a bitter wrangling match and miscalling each other. My, how the devil laughs at the folly of so many of God's people. So in their dispute, they even have quite a bit to teach us. So that was the hindrance to the work. My time is gone, and I have only time just to refer you to verse 40 through to 16, verse 3, to show you the helpers in the work. Paul took Silas and Timothy. Good models for any young Christian. Both were men of proven dedication upon whom Paul could absolutely depend. Silas had shown his character and his energy and his usefulness, first in Jerusalem and then in Antioch. And of course he would be of great value to Paul as he went round delivering the decrees of the apostles and elders in Jerusalem, because Silas was the personal representative of the presbytery meeting in Jerusalem. And therefore, he would be of very great value to Paul. Timothy had already stood in a hard place. He was in Lystra and Iconium. He was already showing great energy. He was not willing to sit in one place, but he was making his talents useful to the Lord wherever he could. And if you go back to chapter 14, verse 19, you'll find that that was one of the toughest areas where the early church could take a stand. Timothy was already standing in a hard place. Now, on this occasion, I'm not going into Paul's act of circumcising Timothy. I think that he was wrong. It seems strange to me that he was going to deliver the decrees of the apostles, which said that they came down against the notion that except you be circumcised, you cannot be saved, and yet to placate the Jews, he did circumcise Timothy. Well,
Many preachers say that that was a matter of indifference, and he wasn't saying it was necessary to salvation, it was just for peace. You should go a long way for peace. We can learn that from Paul. You should go a long way for peace in the church and peace in evangelism. But still, I think that he was going beyond the mark, and it would have been better to stand up to those Jews rather than to give in on that occasion. But here he is with these two helpers. Now they go out to the work, and you'll see the health of the churches, verses 4 and 5 of chapter 16. Only time to mention the two points that mark a healthy church. I really should have got here much earlier so that I could preach in these points. But notice them, the mark of a healthy church, a good bank balance. Do you read that? It doesn't say that. Great influence. It doesn't say that. Let me tell you what it does say. Establishment in the faith. That's the first thing. A healthy church is a church where its people know the faith. So many church members, and they know they're saved. And that's about all they know. Well, it's good to know you're saved. If there's only one thing in the world you could know, to know you're saved. That's the greatest thing on earth to know. But you're missing so much if you're not established in the faith. My, if you haven't got to know the great doctrines of the Word of God, if you don't make this Word your meat from day to day, if it is not your satisfying portion, if you can't say, I have esteemed it more than my necessary food, my, you've missed so much. These people were established in the faith. You know, I remark when I read what was written to young Christians. Someday we'll start a study in 1 Peter. It's a book I always recommend for young Christians. A person gets saved, I tell them, read the Gospel of John, because it's written to establish you in faith and to strengthen your faith. And then I always tell them, read 1 and 2 Peter, for they were written specifically for young Christians. And after that, get right through the New Testament. Read, read, read. But did you ever look at 1 Peter? Newborn babes in Christ, according to chapter 2, verse 2. You ever stop and think, how does Peter start talking to them? Now, they're not long saved, but here's how he starts. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he starts to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, that's quite a mouthful for the first couple of verses, isn't it? Eternal election. Oh, but we're just saved. The whole jargon today is don't tell them that until they're many years in their old. Peter says, get to know it. Why, they're so groomed and grounded in the things of God that he can talk to them about eternal election, foreknowledge, sanctification, obedience, the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And my friend, in that very term, the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, there is presumed a very vast knowledge of the sacrificial system of the Old Testament and its fulfillment in Christ in the New Testament, and the application and efficacy of the precious blood of the Lamb. My, there's a wealth of doctrinal statement in the first couple of verses. And here they are, they're only saved. I know Christians for 40 years. I don't know them for 40 years because I couldn't know anybody for 40 years being such a young fellow. But they have been saved for 40 years. And they don't know the 100th part of all that. Not much wonder our countries are going to hell. Not much wonder our churches are impotent and powerless. My, the first thing about a healthy church is that it is established in the faith. That's it. Get to know the book. Get to love the book. Get to study the book. Get to live the book. That's it. Then, the second mark of a healthy church is evangelism. Notice what it says. Verse 5, so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. There was an outreach. There was a going forth with the gospel. Souls were being saved every day. Can God still do that sort of thing? I'm not talking now about your high-powered, decisionistic, evangelistic movements where you screw a man's arm up his back or where you give him a lot of modern psychological jargon and you trick him into a decision. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people added to the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about churches that say we have a membership of 15,000 and an attendance of 1,500. I'm talking about people who really get saved. I'm talking about Bible evangelism. And I want you to notice the divine order here. It is establishment and then evangelism. People who are knowing the Word for themselves. People who are studying the Word for themselves. People who are enjoying the Word for themselves. People who are living the Word in their own lives are the best evangelists of all. A healthy church. Now let's be very honest with ourselves. We're going to be meeting in a few minutes at the Lord's table. If there's one place in God's earth you ought not to be anything less than absolutely honest with yourself, it's surely there. Let's be honest with ourselves this morning. By that standard, is this a healthy church? You think for yourself. By that standard, are you a healthy Christian? Establishment in the faith, the evangelism of souls. Oh, that God would make us healthy. We're weak. Our bones are broken. Our souls sore vexed. Oh, that God would come amongst us today, giving us His health. He can do it. As I say, we're going to be meeting around the Lord's table. It's the Lord's table. Not mine. Not yours. The Lord's. But that makes it all the more solemn. If you're not a healthy Christian, you go and get that right with the Lord before you eat and drink at the Lord's table. You get that right with Him first. Don't be going with the open show. Don't be putting on a brazen countenance. Oh, that God would give us what John Mark needed, the severity and the clemency. I trust and pray that God will touch your hearts. I've been dealing with very simple, straightforward, practical things this morning. How worthwhile they'll be if through it all the Lord makes this a healthy church, makes your life a healthy life. If you found a start of a cancerous growth in your body, what would you do? You'd get to the doctor. You'd be right. Before it goes too far, get it dealt with. Have we not uncovered something mightily worse than cancer? Have we not uncovered the disease that eats the very vitals out of the Church of Christ? Men and women, before it's too late for us to do anything or be anything for God, let's get to the great physician of the soul. Let's ask Him to make it right. May the Lord bless us. If you're fine that you've backslidden in heart, you might have all the looks of a Christian, but you're sitting there and you say, "Preacher, I'm not established in the faith. I have no love for Scripture. I've lost out with God. I'm as miserable as can be." Man or woman, if you're backslidden in heart this morning, rebellious of spirit against God, a John Mark, oh, get to where you ought to be. May the Lord break your heart and bring you there. May the Lord restore to you joy. The joy of salvation by grace. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word to our hearts. We long for the blessing of heaven. We long for the outpouring of power. Oh God, give us the sense of our own grievous sinfulness and failure. Give us a hatred of those things which grieve thy gracious Holy Spirit. And Lord, grant that thou wilt restore backsliders, save sinners, and set thy people on fire with the love of Christ. Bless us, Lord, today we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.